Harry Truman's path to the country's highest elected office was never linear. Enough setbacks marked his pre-presidential career to have tested the character of the most resilient of men, and perhaps encourage a belief in miracles. Born on May 8, 1884, Truman spent his first 6 years on southern Missouri farms, where he had memories of a comfortable and even wonderful life, typical of many other 19th century, largely self-sufficient farm families. In 1890, the Trumans moved to Independence, a town of 6,000 people 10 miles southeast of Kansas City. Although it was a rough frontier center with no public utilities or paved streets, Independence had public schools, at which Harry and a younger brother and sister could receive schooling unavailable in their more isolated farm community. When Harry graduated from high school in 1901, he wanted to attend the United States Military Academy, but poor eyesight, which required him to wear glasses with thick lenses, barred him from West Point. That year, when Harry's father, John Truman, a commodity livestock trader and speculator, began suffering a series of losses that bankrupted the family, Truman's possible interest in higher education fell victim to his family's economic needs. He went to work for the Santa Fe Railroad as a payroll clerk, and then as a bank clerk in Kansas City until 1906, when his father, who had resumed farming, pressed his son into giving up his ample $100 a month job to join him in running the family farm. For the next 11 years, Truman worked long days, through good times and bad, planting and harvesting crops, raising and selling livestock. During this time, he also maintained a long-standing interest in reading biography and military and political history. "I saw that it takes men to make history, or that there would be no history," he wrote in his post-presidential memoirs. He gave expression to his fascination with the military by joining a local National Guard artillery unit in 1905, serving in its summer encampments and attending its drill sessions on and off until 1911. After two tours of duty, however, the demands of the farm decided him against a third three-year enlistment. In 1917, when the United States entered World War I, Truman re-enlisted in his National Guard battery unit. It was entirely voluntary. At 33, he was past draft age. But President Wilson's call to arms appealed to his belief in a larger good. "I felt that I was a Galahad after the Grail," he wrote in an autobiography. But more than patriotic idealism motivated him. He could have just as easily served the cause by staying on the farm to help supply food to America's allies. More to the point, Truman had hopes of using military service as a launching pad for a political career. The competition for office and chance to gain distinction through public service fascinated him. "If I were real rich," he wrote in a letter to Elizabeth Bess Wallace, his future wife, "I'd just as soon spend my money buying votes and offices as yachts and autos." And yet he was under no illusions, as he told Bess in the same letter. "To succeed politically, a man must be an egoist or a fool or a ward boss tool." His father had introduced him to local and national politics as a teenager. In 1900, when he was 16, they attended the Democratic National Convention in Kansas City, where the party made William Jennings Bryan its presidential nominee for the second time. Truman remembered running errands for a local leader during the convention, which took place in a great hall holding 17,000 delegates and onlookers who responded to Bryan's nominating speech with a boisterous half-hour demonstration. In subsequent years, Truman involved himself in local Democratic Party politics, winning appointments as a town postmaster and as a road overseer, responsible for the maintenance of county highways. By 1917, he understood that wartime military service could be of benefit not only to the country, but also to someone with aspirations for elected office.